Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias, outfitted by Iron Jock Apparel, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Dancing down the sidelines, and they catch him now! The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
And welcome into the Jump Round, a Badger-dedicated show live on the ESPN Madison and the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Pablo Iglesias. We're at Riley Yauch. Still recovering behind the glass here in the Everlight Solar studio.
Glass case of emotions back there.
Yeah, how are we doing today, pal? Because if you've been watching the show and you watched our Jump Around Extra after the Badgers humiliated themselves against High Point, Riley was not doing well. Have we settled back in a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing better, that's for sure. But having to watch Iowa and Nebraska win on a BS buzzer beater that should have dropped for Vanderbilt, the frustration has increased. The confusion is still there, but I'm not as angry or as depressed as I was in the immediate aftermath of the loss.
Well, let's see if we can get you there, because we're going to take a look at the loss.
You might.
Right now, as the Badgers lost to High Point, the most interesting thing I learned about this was after the fact that High Point is basically Righteous Gemstones on HBO if it was a college. It is very interesting.
You mean every university is chartering multiple flights to send 200 students out and everything?
Gorgeous,
it has
gorgeous
steakhouse pools
and steakhouse. And I mean, it was extravagant.
Yeah.
Extravagant to go to High Point University. And then they go out and beat the Badgers, which is less than extravagant. And High Point's good. Yeah. I want to start with that. But the Badgers should have won this game, and it's a bummer that Nick Boyd, look, he hit three straight layups in a row when High Point was scoring to keep the Badgers in it, and then at the end he didn't get the shot he needed. But honestly, he beat his guy, and I'm not like blaming Nolan Winter, but you know, offensively you're kind of tough to get between your guy and the other player with the ball. So his guy was able to drop off of him and come over and block the shot, and that was that. So that was a disappointing end. Still a great season by Boyd. Still a great season by Blackwell and Winter and the whole team and Greg Gard. And it's just one of those things now where the Badgers have to figure out probably something in between what they've been the last couple of years, where the offense has been outstanding, and what they were before, where they were basically a defensive identity team. Because I don't think the Badgers build enough depth and even enough top-end talent to outscore opponents when it counts. And then they're so bad defensively, you saw what happened. That when you can't defend, and you, look, the Badgers scored a lot of points, yeah. 82 points. They can score a lot of points, but they can't defend when it mattered, and that's really where this showed up, is that High Point, yes, they made some crazy shots, but High Point got the baskets when they needed them, and the Badgers couldn't defend it.
Yeah, I still feel like that. I'm happy that Riley's able to process his feelings and feels a little better after that loss. I mean, I still feel, honestly, just so dejected. Like, that was the immediate, and I think we all felt that after the loss immediately, but I'm just still in shock right now. And again, hats off to High Point. I even said to my dad, I didn't think that – I thought Arkansas was just going to push and bully them as much as possible, but it ended up being a much closer game than I thought. So hats off to High Point for – you know what? I wrote them off way too soon and thought this was a one-game fluke. And granted, they didn't advance, but still, they played a much tighter game in the next round than I anticipated them to. But – it is the dejection, it's the depression, it's just like a melancholic feel because of you felt so connected to this team. And not only did fans, but Ben Brust had said this, Mark Tauscher had said this, that you felt that this was more than, it's not just a loss for a basketball team, it's a loss for very much a very strong group of guys that grew together and were very vocal about it. So that's where I feel about this and why I'm still just processing the loss, and it just still doesn't even feel real that it happened.
Yeah, and it felt like this team was going to be the one that was different. They had battled adversity throughout the season. They had five top 15 wins. They had Final Four experience in Nick Boyd. They had experience in John Blackwell and Nolan Winter last year, who had the difficult defeat to swallow against BYU. It felt like this team had all the makings of a squad that could make a deep run in March. And to see it end because some guy was chucking up logo threes and it was the most ball magnet, just whoop, everything was going in. The little guy Martin was hitting leaning threes when he was trying to foul bait. Everything went in. And Wisconsin played fine, but High Point played great. And like you said, Jim, they couldn't buy a stop. High Point was making ridiculous buckets. It was so ridiculous. They had no business losing that game. There are 4 minutes to go and you're up by eight. All you got to do, you have two more possessions. You go down, you get two stops, two scores, you're up 12. They're not coming back. You had an opportunity. They had opportunities and they couldn't get it done. And that's why it was so frustrating, because they had the experience, they had all the pieces, and it still didn't come together.
This year's team was really fun to watch too, and I think that's why all of us, to what your point and what Ben and Mark were alluding to, is that from a selfish standpoint as a fan, this was a fun team to watch play basketball, a fun team to get behind. And in the day of NIL, there's what I would, you know, Rhodey's gone. Rap, maybe he stays, but Rhodey's gone.
Rap has said, I should say, yes, I know he's staying. No, that's
but,
fair.
Like, but that means for sure Boyd's gone.
Yep.
I would imagine Blackwell's gone.
He declared for the draft last year. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Probably going to try and go to the league again.
And if he doesn't, someone could come in some like real
with
money.
A ton of money.
Yes. Big Cat's trying to get Dusty May away from him, as Dusty May was, I think he said to Big Cat that he's highly competitive.
You've heard May talk about him. You've heard Brad Underwood talk about it. Like, people are going to be trying to swoop in and swipe.
Wouldn't be surprised if John Shire comes in.
You know what? Let's because this kind of gets into our next topic here. Let's hit this and then we'll move to the next topic. And that's the direction of the program under Guard, and in Guard we trust, with a question mark there, is on the rundown. But when we talk about someone like Blackwell and how guards have to, like, this isn't sour grapes when I blamed NIL and or used NIL as part of the issue with the Badgers, because it's the truth. Now, this year specifically, the Badgers obviously let us down. You can't lose to a 12 seed. You just can't. If they had gone and lost to Arkansas, you feel a little better about it, especially if they lost to Arkansas the same way they lost to High Point. We feel fine. We're only upset about not being able to watch the Badgers play more, and that's it. We're not having a conversation about Guard and his legacy and what he can do here at Wisconsin, but that didn't happen. And then the last time the Badgers have gone to the Sweet 16 was 2017, which were mostly remnants of Bo Ryan's players. And I know Guard recruited all that. I'm pro-Guard, so I'll just get that out of the way now. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but I think Guard is the best the Badgers can do. And I don't mean that in a bad way, like it's a low bar, but Greg Guard is good enough to want and be able to be recruited somewhere else to go coach, maybe somewhere with more funds, maybe a basketball school. But he doesn't want to do that. He is a Wisconsin guy through and through. He wants to be here. He wants to coach here. And he knows how to efficiently win here. Is his ceiling here lower than it was under Bo Ryan? Yeah, but that's not a great guard problem. That is a Wisconsin Badgers don't know how to compete in the NIL problem, not a great guard problem. So I think the problem for the Badgers is twofold, and neither are great guards' fault, even though it's going to sound like it. Great guard is their ceiling. Great guard is the one that's going to get them farther than anyone else can get them. But the Sweet 16 might be as far as he can get them as their kind of national championship. And I know that in William Tausch, Evan Cohen said something similar from Unsportsmanlike. But when Gabe Neitzel and I were here, and he's on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy in the mornings in Milwaukee, we'd always defend Bo Ryan and say, hey, Sweet 16, that was the Badgers' version of a Rose Bowl when they were here. Like, that's it. Just get to the Sweet 16. And then they got to a Final Four, and that's basically a national championship. Because people, believe it or not, were like, man, Bo Ryan, he's okay, but all he does is just win 20 games and finish in the top four in the Big Ten, and we always lose in the Sweet 16. Like, that was it. That was the knock on him. And so that, to me, I've lowered my expectations, not for great guard, but for the overall ability for Badger basketball. I almost look at them as a Cinderella if they get past the Sweet 16. And I think that's how you have to adjust your expectations with the current structure of the Badgers leadership. I don't know if that's a college basketball, college football, college athletics problem, or if it's a Wisconsin unique problem, but Wisconsin in the age of NIL is far closer to being a mid-major on the football and basketball side of things as far as what you're winning as they are to being a blue blood.
The question is too, is just what does success look like for you, especially in March Madness, because it's one-off games, it's head-to-heads, it's you never know what matchups, and I'll wholeheartedly admit, I know I said before that seeding did not matter. I will full disclosure, I admit
that I was wrong. We already took your task for that, yeah. We took your task for that already. Yeah.
It's all good, but to that point of what Greg Gard has done despite of being in this NIL, he even said on Unsportsman, like, how recruits are, what recruits are being told is that Greg Gard's going to take a job in blue blood or at blue blood schools. What? That's what other recruiters are saying now to try to get them away from Wisconsin. I mean, clearly there's something where it's not just the respect of the team and the recruits, it's other teams in college basketball that Greg Gard has. And I've had discussions too with Badger fans, and they're like, well, he's got to go, he's got to do this. I'm like, as you said too, where do we go next? I'm very much in the don't just fire away and then try to figure it out. You need to have the solution first off, which I think is a bonkers conversation
also,
to have.
We know this athletic department has thought they've had a solution.
Correct.
And didn't have it,
yes.
Luke Fickell.
And I want to get back to, again, what Greg Gard has done right. And when it's just about the roster construction, unfortunately, it just blew up at the worst time. It blew up at the worst time in the final game of the season, where we didn't expect it to be the final game of the season. But they were very intentional about building this roster. They know what the resources that they have, and they work around it. Greg Gard knows what the system is. They know how they've developed. Unfortunately, without Kirk Penny this season, it is what it is. But they were still able to adapt and be able to work with what they have. Maybe they don't have this boatload of millions of dollars that other blue blood programs have. Sure, but it's not like that they're saying, oh, woe is me. I'm going to sit in this bottomless pit and just wallow. No, they're very much about problem solvers and figuring out how they can get it to work with what they have.
Yeah, I trust Greg Gard. I trust the Wisconsin Badgers, and I trust that Greg Gard is going to be able to construct a roster that will compete with the top half of the Big Ten year in and year out. The problem lies, why do they keep falling short in March? I still can't wrap my mind around it. Greg Gard has won Big Ten championships. He has brought several teams to the Big Ten championship in the tournament. They can rise to the occasion. They beat five top 15 teams this season, multiple on the road. Where is the disconnect between rising to the occasion of those games and rising to the occasion against the High Point Panthers in March, or BYU last year, or James Madison the year before that? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I love Greg Gard. I trust him. He is always going to keep the Badgers competitive in the Big Ten and in college basketball. But you have to win in March. How do you get over that hump? What do you need to do? I don't know the answer right now, but I know it's got to happen soon because Badgers fans are only going to be able to tolerate this for so many more years.
In my mind, what I think that this team could really benefit from, and it was a raw emotion that Ben Bruss had on cable with that too. Nick Boyd, I think, brought the attitude, but I think you need an enforcer more so from like a low post perspective. And again, this isn't a knock on how the big men play, but I think that's
you can
what
knock
I feel.
Them. We all saw them play. I don't want to call them soft, but like they just get moved around way too easy.
That's one thing, and I'm not saying that it's the fixer elixir. But that's what I felt like over the years has just been that missing piece. And Chris Vogt, the Johnny Davis season, he came off the bench, but he was a good big center, 7-footer, strong guy. You didn't expect him to score, but he got you some key, whether it was defensive or offensive rebounds. If you could work a guy into that system that, again, knows that I don't need to be the spot-up shooter center.
I don't want Chris Vogt either, though. Yeah. I mean, like,
I just need an enforcer, though. That's Will Garlock.
I think Will Garlock could become that sort of guy. And we've seen Greg Gard can also develop guys. We saw this team objectively get better over the course of the season.
Yes.
And so it still goes back to money. Because my gut tells me those guys are more expensive. Mm-hmm. The bigs mm-hmm. with the athleticism that fit what the Badgers want to run, because you got to get a guy that fits into your system still, is the premier guy. A.J. Storr was probably the closest, and he wasn't a full big, but he was bigger, the closest to it. Tanjay was big, but he wasn't truly like a guy that could be, you know, have no position. I think Wisconsin is in this weird problem. It's like, do you pay for Blackwell, Boyd, and Winter and then backfill the rest? Or do you not have the premium, pay the premium price? And I don't know Iowa's roster off the top of my head, but like build a roster that's more system orientated and more just deeper. Well, and you could even look at, again, I'll go back to this. Wisconsin might have to build their rosters more like High Point than like how they used to build. And that's what, again, what Evan Cohen from Unsportsman like kind of danced around on Wilding and Tausch is the idea that instead of trying to get Deckers and, well, obviously Kaminsky wasn't Kaminsky, instead of ever trying to convince a Decker to get here, you got to find the Kaminskys and the Brust who were good and then got better over time here, or you build your roster like a High Point. And I'm sure, I know Nebraska's got good players, but like build it where it's deeper and you have more of the talent spread out and you're running literally guys that play your system who are never going to be anything beyond system basketball players. And we all hated that, but I think for a while under Bull, that's what he was doing. But now I think that might be the way for the Badgers to achieve is just get a bunch of dudes that exactly fit the great guard system offensively and defensively.
That's exactly what he said, too, is that they were very, again, the intentionality.
Yes.
When I ask, like, hey, you've seen this team grow, when I talked to him, again, he said we were very intentional about how we knew what these guys were. It wasn't just a pick or, you know, pick right, of the litter. We're just going to see, hey, this name's out there. No, we need to know that this guy fits the system. We talk to people, and this is the specific type of person.
Yes, they have been, but I'm just saying they have to spread. Like,
that's fair.
Instead of saying Nick Boyd, we got to go a tier below so we can get two, like, instead of Nick Boyd, let's call him an 8 on the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
We need 2 6.5s mm-hmm. because we need a full-ass roster. Because Rhodey, I don't want to, like, whatever, he's getting paid. So, like, he wasn't good. I mean, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't good. AB wasn't bad, but he wasn't good. Nolan was good. He got hurt. Blackwell and Boyd were outstanding.
Bilyauskas was a freshman, though, so I'm not as worried about
isn't
that.
Isn't he old?
Billy Auskas is
like 18, 19 years old. He's a freshman.
I thought he was a freshman from like another country, like 21.
He's Finnish, but he's from Europe.
I know that.
Because he was European, I thought he was like 20.
Yeah I'm not sure.
No,
I think he's still young.
Yeah.
But regardless, then you get 2 6.5s. What if one of them pops off? How do you keep them?
But forget keeping them. Everything's got to be year to year.
But do the Badgers have enough money to compete year over year?
That's the thing. Like, every year you're going to have to let the players go and you fill in with the system players. Because you know who people don't want? When you run a specific system and they can only run that system, then who's going to get your guy? Think of like Princeton is what I think of back in the day when they were able to win a little bit by running the Princeton offense. But those dudes couldn't play anywhere else but Princeton.
Well, Xavier
run an
Lee.
Offense that Wisconsin can only... be successful at Wisconsin.
So are you saying they should go back to the Bo Ryan, the slow it down swing offense?
They need to go to slow it down Dick Bennett and bring that back and just run damn four corners. No, I'm just saying that like maybe they need to get super niche-y and just try to say like we're going to be this and only this, because trying to operate like a Power 5 program without a Power 5 budget ain't going to do it. Honestly, and it didn't work for football, but that's why I liked the idea for football, and it could have been the offense, because you can find like the spread offense is what I'm talking about for football, in theory, is the offense forever that was run by lesser programs, because you could put people in space and you didn't need great athletes. You just scheme the hell out of this thing and scheme people open. Football didn't execute that. But the same idea for basketball, there are certain schemes where it's like, look, these are lesser players. They're lesser athletes. But in this system, they can be close to being perfect.
Yes, but looking at this year, it seemed like they had everything in place for a deep run.
The bigs are soft. Like, you can't rely, like, Nolan Winter right now.
But if Nolan Winter doesn't get hurt.
He does, but okay. But
yeah,
AB,
but that's also sports.
AB this year was not strong enough. I'm not saying good, like, physically, you watched it, and he's just getting moved around. And that's It's hard to ask an 18-year-old to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Rhodey can't move his feet to play defense. And so, and
which
that's just,
ended up getting, right. was the whole and, reason why they got burned this season.
But that's who he is. So, yeah. again, like, if he was coming off your bench and you bring him in and he just has some, if you're setting it up, there, everyone else can defend, and Rhodey's the guy that you just kind of, he's their Johnston. Like, how, like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but he's had little, he comes in and shoots four threes a game, makes the four threes, and sits his ass back down.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so,
and then that, the one saucy pass layup.
Yeah. And so, this, the Badgers just have, this weird mix of playing super young guys who aren't physically strong enough in the post and then having an elite backcourt. And so everyone fit together, but it still isn't good enough because the overall product is complete. But that's because they don't have enough money to build a proper car.
Like it's, I mean, that's the big question. Is
so, I mean, I like the roster building they're doing, but it's coming up short. So you might have to look at it a little bit different. And again, instead of spending all your money on Blackwell and Boyd in winter, you might have to just take a tick down from them at the top to then add one more guy who's, instead of Blackwell and Boyd, you have those two, you have four winters.
I don't
like
see
not that. Not as big, but I just mean that level of player.
Just in,
yeah. I don't see
this.
Know,
I don't know if that gets him any farther.
Well, this ain't working.
I don't even
just
know.
It's so frustrating.
All right, let's get to the next. Yeah, because this is even more frustrating. You know,
what
6
do
and
I know?
3, the Big Ten, they're moved like everyone else is better. Wisconsin, Ohio State, and UCLA. And UCLA ain't the UCLA. It isn't Wooden's UCLA. It isn't Steve Lavin's
No, I just want to thank Mick Cronin for being who he is. I said this to Riley, and I said that to Owen back in the booth there. Thank you, Mick Cronin, for being who you are and getting that technical foul at a time when I just needed it for bracket purposes,
that
maybe.
That guy is a doofus. But they still won. They won one game, right?
Yeah.
That they did.
They won further.
So, us, Wisconsin and Ohio State, the only two teams to be eliminated in the round of 64.
Well, seating-wise, the Badgers were the biggest upset.
Yep.
Not great. Not great.
Not ideal.
You're welcome for continuing the Cinderella arc of that.
Cinderella's
people are saying there's no Cinderellas.
They'll still be around as long as Wisconsin's competing in the tournament.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I guess I'll ask you this. Which Big Ten team still in it makes you feel the worst about the Badgers?
Iowa.
Yeah.
Wisconsin kicked the crap out of Iowa earlier this year. Iowa's not that good. And they can beat the reigning national champions. And Wisconsin, who, again, 5 top 15 wins, they can't beat High Point. They can't beat Chase Johnston and Rob Martin or whatever his name is. It was sickening watching that game. I was just disgusting.
I agree with you on Iowa.
I think we need to give Iowa a little more credit, mainly because of what the head coach brought over, and he brought over a lot of his Drake guys.
He's
Drake
a hell of a
team.
Coach, yeah.
He's
There's
a hell
only
of a coach.
Two guys who started at Drake on the roster.
He's got like 6 guys, though, still from the Drake team, because at the end of the day, as Jim talked about with depth, is that even though these guys may not be main contributors, they at least have NCAA tournament experience and can make a deep run. So at the very least, again, maybe these guys might not be contributing left and right. You still have Sturts out there who is a certified baller. It sucks. It's a tough pill to swallow because the Badgers knocked the crap out of this team when they were here, don't get me wrong, but you know what? It just comes down to the experience at the end of the day, and it comes down to the depth, like Jim was pointing out. You had a little bit of that top-heavy depth experience, but the rest of the roster, I don't know, most of these guys were experiencing the NCAA tournament for the first time, and as tough as it is to look at it from that perspective, that's how I see it, is that you know you don't want to see 9-seeded Iowa into the Sweet 16, but they have a coach who has made a deep run with guys that are super connected, and that's just where I just fold and throw my cards in, and that's where I'm showing my hand.
All right, let's get to the next one. Our clip of the week.
Around these parts, there's only time for the best of the Badgers.
We don't know exactly where we are right now.
Why don't you own the Wisconsin football team?
We need to play better, significantly.
They're spoiled rotten.
This is the clip of the week on the Jump Around.
Go someplace else. Go boo in a bar.
And this is the clip of the week here coming Frank Kaminsky. He joined the folks on KBN on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America, now officially in Wisconsin. And let's hear what Frank had to say. All right, we can't hear. Actually, I'm
sorry. I think we're dealing with a couple things back there. But
we'll get to the Frank clip in a second. So, look, full disclosure, we have two things going on right now. That we have someone doing a Sports Center.
Way to pull back the curtain.
Yes, and I thought we'd be able to get the video played, but that won't happen. So we are just going to filibuster here for a second before we get to the Frank clip.
So,
but
Big Ten teams, real quick. Yeah. Big Ten teams that have advanced. Illinois. Like we knew at the end of the day sans Iowa. I will give you guys that.
Like, not saying Iowa's bad. It's just that Iowa of the group is the one you didn't expect to go farther.
That is fair. But it was the same season. I remember when this was actually right after the Wisconsin-Michigan brawl, where Michigan's running off the court and everybody's shouting NIT, and it felt like that was a low point for Michigan, understandably, that season. And all of a sudden, they're the team where Wisconsin's looking from the outside in, and Michigan goes into the Sweet 16. It's just the unpredictability too, where it's like I give kudos to just what the Big Ten means and the strength behind it, but you know, it's I go back to what you're saying too. Sweet 16 does just feel like the championship, and for Wisconsin, and you got to see how everything plays from then on.
All right, I think we're going to be ready for the clip of the week here in a second. We'll see. I don't know what is going on right now.
Riley's being a big trooper right now, too. I can tell.
He's riled up here. But
hey, that's a Saturday Scramble thing.
It is, yeah. Oh, riled up.
We got our segment riled up. But, I mean,
so you're getting ready. You got University Ridge sweatshirt out here. You're getting ready to get out and golf then?
Oh, come on, dude. I'm so excited for golf season. I think I might go get some hacks in at some point. Later today, so we'll see.
All right, yeah, that sounds like I don't know how I'm going out today. It's a little bit chilly, but
yeah.
Riley, are
we? Oh, dude, I've gone sub-zero. As long as there's heaters, and I'm good to go.
Okay, well, good for you, man. Because I'm
dedicated.
I can't. I feel like I'm gonna break my clubs when it's freezing cold outside.
Mm-hmm. No, you got to put it under the armpit and just kind of swing back and forth. I'm not gonna do the motion, but
is that, okay, yeah.
I don't want to get thrown under the bus on Jim, Matt, and Molly for something like that. It feels like a Jim, Matt, and Molly moment if I'm caught on tape doing that.
So it's inappropriate. That's what we're doing right now.
The gesture could come off as. It's not. Yeah.
I was talking on air. That's why you guys couldn't hear me. I said did twice. So
I figured was happening. Man.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
In my head, I was like, he's talking over our airwaves.
Yeah.
Now.
Did you guys hear the clip of the week intro at all?
We
heard the intro.
We did not the clip. I thought yes.
Just pro filibusters out here talking about
Big
Ten.
I couldn't hear anything you guys were talking about, but I'm sure it was absolutely fantastic.
He was just defending Iowa again.
I don't need to hear whatever that was. Let's hear
was
the intro one more time.
Big Ten.
Let's right. just hear the intro and do this again.
Around these parts. There's only time
the Big
for the
Ten
best
is
of the
good
Badgers.
Basketball conference.
Exactly
Hawkeye
Iglesias
right
over here.
Why don't you own the Wisconsin football team?
We need to play better significantly.
Hawkeye's a great superhero, guys.
This is the clip of the week.
Great character on
MASH.
Go someplace else. Go boo in a bar.
All right, time for the clip of the week.
Two.
Here's Frank Kaminsky talking about Greg Gard.
You just kind of have to appreciate the season for what it was. They got back to the NCAA tournament. They were a top five seed again. But you can see what, you know, the problem is. But Gardo's a fantastic coach. He really is. He's a guy that can figure it out. I think he's really smart. I think he'll find the guys that come in and play. It's just like you have to find guys that are going to fit your system and not have these lapses. It's hard to see the past couple of years how it just feels like when the heat gets turned up by another team, they just kind of wilter away and there's no like camaraderie.
And Frank knows ball. And I do agree that Greg Gard's the guy. Greg Gard's a good coach that can figure this out. The last little bit, I don't think the team wilted away without camaraderie. I mean, it's Blackwell and Boyd who are going to score those baskets, and I don't think there was any finger-pointing or anything team-building-wise that was missing with that team. They just missed the shot-makers, and more importantly, I think they missed the defenders. So I don't view this as a team chemistry issue. I don't view this as a coaching issue. I view this as a roster construction issue, and I view that because the Badgers don't have enough funds because they just didn't – like, Rapp's not a big, and Winter is – barely a big, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just like you need someone down low that can just go get some board, a Ryan Evans type, a Brusewitz type, like someone
Brazil from Arkansas, just like that.
Yeah, so like some former Badgers are referencing to him as well. Like just someone, just a badass to go out there and play a little defense, get some boards, and kind of be the glue, the grit guy for this team.
Yeah, I think Oscar Clough for Purdue, he's just a big guy, gets out there, and he was stuffing. I forgot who they were playing in the round of 64, whatever 15 seed they were playing. But dude just went out and bullied guys. Wisconsin definitely does not have a bully ball type of player right now.
No, yeah, not at all.
I respect Frank for, especially right after the loss, too, coming out. Because, I mean, if anybody knows Greg Gard, it's anybody from this Final Four team, too, that knew Greg Gard as an assistant that's going to back him up. I'm glad, one, that he showed the support. And it just goes back to what we were saying. We need a bully enforcer. It's great if you have a stretch big that can shoot threes, but don't make every big a three shooter. Like, just get some guys to get one to complement another, because even if it doesn't feel like that there's enough Dennis Rodman from the player's standpoint, let me preface that. If you get kind of more of like those enforcers, I think of those teams. Like, get somebody that's tough down low and is gritty and gets the rebounds. That's, I feel
Joe
like
Kravitoff.
What. Yeah. Mm.
So yeah, do you say that? Was, so do you say the lack of a bruiser slash enforcer type big, that is the largest tangible issue facing Wisconsin and their lack of success in March?
That's what I feel like has always hurt them. That's what I feel like is that missing piece where, again, you have the dog in Nick Boyd, don't get me wrong, from the scoring standpoint, that was awesome. He was a guy that brought in the confidence. He even said that he wanted to bring in that confidence. But Nick Boyd's not going to do every single thing, especially get the rebounds in the post.
I don't think, and it doesn't have to be Brusewitz type, but like they haven't had a big like we're talking about since Potter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was probably the last one.
Yeah.
And so that's some time. Reavers wasn't that guy. Reavers closer to Winter. And look, Winter's a good basketball player.
Yes.
And if Winter was paired with a Potter type or a Brusewitz type or Ryan Evans type, he'd be better. Like, you're asking Winter to do a lot of things that he's not necessarily built or mentality-wise to do. So he's a good basketball player, and I hope he stays. But I'm just saying, like, when he's the one big, and maybe AB does better. I'm not saying he won't, but, like, it's still, to your point, by the time he gets good, like, I need a vet down there that can come and play immediately next to either AB and Winter or one of them next year.
Give me a 7-footer that shoots 62% from the charity stripe. That's just big body guy. I don't care. Yeah, that's it. Those are the numbers that I'm looking at.
Run and dunk.
Yep. So let's get to the Twitter portal.
It's time for the Badgers Twitter portal.
Yeah, it is. Let's get into the Badgers Twitter portal, starting with humbly one of my own tweets.
Self-promotion here. Hey.
My two big takeaways. Wisconsin football has started spring practice. Number one, this was from this first practice. We are recording on Tuesday. They had practice today. From what I heard, Colton Joseph did significantly better today and last Saturday. But from what I saw, Colton Joseph, dynamic runner, accuracy definitely a work in progress. He made good decisions, but struggled in the accuracy department. And then the defense looked fantastic, and it was just good to be back watching some football. Again, I got my Wisconsin football hat. We've moved on from basketball onto Badgers football again. So, you guys, it's first spring ball. Colton Joseph had a better day today. Are you concerned about his accuracy? Because that was the biggest knock on him coming out of Old Dominion.
Yeah. I mean, like, accuracy has to be something that you're constantly working at, and it's going to come and go. So my gut tells me that they're going to use Colson Joseph's legs a lot, and he's going to have some stretches when he's playing where he's, like, hot. Like, he'll be a streaky shooter, you know, the cross metaphors there. But he'll have some moments where he is just hitting everything, and he'll have some other moments where he can't hit the broadside of a barn. And I think that's just what we're going to have to live with as fans. But I think the offensive coordinator, Grimes, is good enough to understand, get Joseph in rhythm with some runs, some easier passes, and then take a few shots and make them as simple as throws as possible. So I think he'll be frustrating accuracy-wise because if that's your story this far into your career, you're probably that guy. But I think he'll be electric running, and I think there will be moments where he'll be electric passing-wise as well.
I look at this more as a beige flag versus a red flag right now, but it's if he's still doing this by the end of spring ball, which they've said during this period, this is where guys can get frustrated and grow and develop. That's what the coaches push, is that this is what this period is. If he's like this towards the end of the period, yeah, major red flag. But right now I'm calling it a beige flag, and I'm just on watch at the moment.
All right. Yeah, personally, I'm not worried yet. Defense is always ahead of the offense this early, and he was awesome. Watching him run the football, getting away, staying loose within the pocket and decision-making. Loved what I saw there. So I'm not worried yet. I'm not worried yet. Moving on to the national champion Wisconsin Badgers women's hockey team from Dr. Marte, ninth national championship, college hockey capital of the world. Is Mark Johnson the greatest coach in Wisconsin Badgers history, yes or no?
I mean, on resume-based, yes, so that's a clear yes, but I would say obviously Barry and Bo are in that. It's just a matter of how much weight you want to put on the sport. Because neither one of them reached the heights that Johnson has reached. So he's no lower than three, and I could see him at one. That's not really a set answer. But honestly, I just put him at one. He got nine national championships at a massive sport. And I know this isn't at Wisconsin, but he's honestly one of the greatest figures in hockey history. And, oh, by the way, he's the coach of the women's hockey team for the Badgers.
Yeah, I say yes. I say 100% he is. Nine titles, not only is that just remarkable across the board, but that's the most in the NCAA. So you have the most in not just, what was it, nine in program history, but you have nine, and you are the only program that they broke their own record in a way from last season. They repeated as national champions. They have Olympic athletes that last month won the gold, and then come in and win the national championship. So it's a credit to Mark Johnson, though, but again, based off the recruiting, based off the way that he does it, it's not like he's truly changing a lot of styles. The players love all the energy that he brings, and honestly, it's just more of like that cool, calm, and collected. He's never changed. He's always done the exact same thing in the best way, and the players love and respect him. I gotta say, yes, 100%, he's the greatest coach in Wisconsin history.
Yeah, I think nine national championships puts you at the top of the heap. All right,
nine is divine.
Last thing from me, I know you guys, while I was stuck back here with craziness going on, Scary Alvarez, the ninth place team in the Big Ten, just beat the SEC champion. I know you guys talked about Iowa quite a bit while I couldn't hear, but this just further cements that the Big Ten is the greatest conference in just about every sport.
No. So here's the thing. Scary Alvarez.
How do you disagree with this is my question. Are you disagree?
Do we care about national championships? When was the last time a Big Ten team's been in the Final Four?
Well, I mean, Purdue a couple years ago.
Yeah, didn't Purdue win the national champion? Yeah.
No, we haven't. Big Ten hasn't won a national championship since 2000, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Purdue won.
No, they didn't. They lost in the finals.
Yeah, they were. Wow.
The national championship game. That wasn't Baylor's year. But they lost, I remember.
So, I mean, I'm sorry. We are, like,
wait a minute.
The peak is there. Like, Duke, these other conferences, Houston, like, those teams just do more. The Big Ten, you might want to make it the deepest. But, I don't know. Championships kind of matter. And don't get me started on the football side of things. Again, top heavy. But again, for the Big Ten basketball, it's the reverse. It's like middle heavy. It's got a gut. But then in the
beer belly,
right?
But
in football, it's just like all upper body. You know, like it's very much the haves and have nots. So no, it is not. It's good, and I love watching it. Doesn't mean it's lesser, but I don't think there's a clear cut one. But I wouldn't say it's the Big Ten. You gotta win a championship. I'm sorry. What year?
2000.
And what year is it?
2026.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
This has been a terrible day of L's for me.
A quarter century. I am 24.
Okay. Oh, they lost to UConn. Oh.
Yeah. So I
Did you hear that?
Wait. Say that again. Sorry. I've been wallowing in my L's across the board.
I was born in 2001. I'm turning 25 this year. My entire lifetime, the Big Ten Conference has not won a national championship in basketball.
Well, isn't there also a stat, too, that a team past, like, west of the Mississippi hasn't won since 92 or something like that?
Something along those lines.
I don't know. I don't want to get
All I know
those.
Is the stat that I cannot call the Big Ten the best basketball conference in the country when it's old. When its last championship is older than Riley.
Older than me.
Fair.
That's wild.
That's fair.
Well, that's all I got for the Twitter portal.
on that note, also... We got a guest coming up here in a second. You spend more than $2,500 or 2,500 hours a year on your mattress. So is it actually working for you?
Hours
it's
and
time,
dollars?
Probably. It's time to upgrade your sleep game during Steinhoffel's Mattress Madness. Their sleep experts will match you with the perfect mattress so you can wake up rested, refreshed, and ready to take on the day. Shop all the brands at unbeatable prices. Plus, enjoy free delivery and a 120-night sleep guarantee so you can rest easy knowing you made the right choice. Shop Mattress Madness in-store or at steinhoffels.com. Today, our guests will be joining us next on the Yuengling Guest Hotline, the oldest brewery in America and now officially in Wisconsin.